So I've got my friend Liz Paxton here from Rackenford, who's helping lead the service this morning. Thank you, Liz.
It's a pleasure.
I hope you can all see your order of service in front of you. So let's begin. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and be glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The first reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now we turn to our responsory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And Christ will give you light. When Christ, our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.
The second reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 56 to 59. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the power of the Spirit. Oh, sorry.
So here we are again, back into John chapter 6 for the final week before we go back to Mark. In case you have a sense of deja vu, oh yes, we've been here before, you'd be absolutely right. The lectionary reading picks up from exactly where we left off last week and repeats the final two verses of last week's reading. This is the final part of Jesus' discourse, in which he repeatedly declares that he is the bread of life. He reveals his power and authority by feeding a large crowd of people, and then goes further to state that if we want to have his life in us and be raised on the last day, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. The words are vivid. These words are the very essence of who Jesus is, what he was sent to earth to do, and it's about our relationship with him. Jesus is God incarnate. Literally, Jesus is God in flesh and blood. He will give himself up to death for the sins of the world. But Jesus says that he is also the bread of life, and we, his followers, need to feed on him. In the Greek, the word Jesus uses for eat means to chew or to munch. What Jesus was saying was outrageous, especially for a Jew. One of the best known of the many Jewish food regulations was that blood was completely and utterly forbidden. You only have to look at Leviticus chapter 17. The complex system of kosher butchering ensured that absolutely no blood remained in the slaughtered animal, so there was no risk of it being eaten or drunk. So what Jesus was saying is really strong stuff. Was he really advocating cannibalism? I don't think so. In this important passage in John chapter 6, I think that when Jesus says we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, he means that eating and drinking is an act of faith. It's about a relationship. Dependence on what Jesus has done is described in terms of eating and drinking. It is, as we explored last week, a way of abiding and remaining with Jesus as a baby is fed by its mother. Jesus, the true Messiah, will put his own life at risk. He will lose it. Jesus' friends and disciples will benefit from his death. They will be fed and they will drink and they will have eternal life. Eating and drinking, remaining dependent and abiding in him is being in close communion with him. It's a holy communion. It's the Eucharist. It is interesting to remember that in his gospel, John does not write or describe the actual meal of the Last Supper, nor does he write about or describe Jesus' actual baptism. I don't think this is because John thinks that these events are irrelevant. On the contrary, I think John thinks that what happened at the Last Supper is central to the whole gospel story. So here, after John has described the feeding of the 5,000, he recounts Jesus' teaching about bread, and some of the words he uses are very, very similar to the words recorded in the other Gospels about the Last Supper. Eating bread and drinking wine and remembering all that Jesus was and is and has done for us is a way of being in communion with him. We come to him in faith, and he feeds us so that we may live and abide in him. Jesus reminds his friends that the manna in the wilderness could not prevent the Israelites from dying. He reminds them that even living a religious life and keeping the law will not prevent being hungry and thirsty again. But those who eat the true bread from heaven, the bread of life in Jesus, will live forever. Being fed, receiving bread and wine is an experience. You can read the script of a play and you can study it, but you have to go to the theatre to experience it. And attempts at putting the experience into words are very, very difficult. And this is the same when we share bread and wine together. And that's why it's been so very, very difficult for so many during this pandemic. This teaching of Jesus was hard. Verse 60 tells us that on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And later on in verse 66, we hear that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The author G.K. Chesterton wrote, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." Jesus' words were not simply dismissed by those who were against him. Those who were closest to him struggled with his teaching. And I am guessing that a lot of us struggle with some of Jesus' teaching too. Sometimes it's so complex. What can Jesus mean? Sometimes his teaching is exasperating and infuriating. What does Jesus expect from me? And sometimes Jesus' teaching offends. Who does he think he is? It is demanding and it's difficult. And sometimes the question is it therefore too much? Following Jesus makes demands on the way we think, the way we act, and the way we feel. However, it offers a great deal more than it demands, as Simon Peter recognized. Others chose to give up. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May we remain followers of Jesus Christ, knowing and believing he has the words of eternal life and he's given them to us. Amen.
Amen. In the power of the Spirit and in the union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face hardship and persecution day by day. Surround them with your love. Guard and keep them, we pray, everlasting God. Hear our prayer. We pray for the troubled nations of the world and for men, women, and children whose lives are threatened by war and political unrest, by poverty and injustice, by famine and natural disaster. And this morning, we particularly remember the people of Afghanistan, Haiti, and people more closer to us in Plymouth. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all whose lives and livelihood are threatened by the continuing pandemic in every corner of your world. We pray for those who care for the sick with inadequate resources, for scientists and researchers seeking effective treatments, and for those in positions of authority, that they may have wisdom to make the right judgments for the good of all. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We lift to you, O God, those known to us who stand in need of your healing today. And we pray especially for Jack, for Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, Ron, and Gordon. We pray for all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving all those whom we love but see no longer, and those who have died recently, especially Daphne Brown. We pray for her family and friends and ask for your comfort and consolation for them and for all who mourn. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. The Collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask. But through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you very much, Liz, for your help in leading this service. We hope that you have a great day. John, we hope you have a great lunch. John's going out to lunch, so he won't be in church later. Whatever you have in store the rest of the day, we hope that you have a blessed time and that we will see you soon, if not next week, at the same time, in the same place, with a different person. I think David Catchpole's coming to join me next week. So,
that'd be nice.
Yes, it will. It's been great to be able to share this with many people. So have a great day. Have a great week. Hope to see you somewhere along the line. God bless. See you soon. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.